Looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change? Wishing you could keep the faith? Longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Welcome to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. We are live in the studio. We have got an amazing show today. We're going to look at 2011 according to the stars. We have a very wonderful guest with us today. So I hope everybody had a great week. I certainly did. I want to give a little shout out to my listeners on 106.9 HD3 in Seattle, as always. Wonderful to have you on board. Go to the host page on contacttalkradio.com. On the right side, you can click on iTunes to subscribe to this show. That's been really wonderful for us to get the numbers, find out how many of you are listening. And you can rate the show, you can write a review, just let other people know that we're having a good time here. If there's a topic you'd like me to cover on this show, I would love for you to send me an email or shoot me a message on my Facebook fan page. It's a brand new year, so got some things up my sleeve, but I would certainly love to find out what you would like me to talk about. You can send me an email by going to my website. That's michellemorgan.org, Michelle with one L, morgan.org. Or you can get on my Facebook fan page. And to find me on Facebook, go to my website, click on the Facebook icon in the links box on the right side of any page, and it'll take you straight in and you can do the Facebook thing. So I hope everybody's had a chance to create their success covenant after last week's show. I've actually heard from several of you about things already shifting and starting to happen as a result of doing that covenant, which is really fun. The first thing that you're going to experience whenever you begin to consciously cultivate or expand your relationship with God is a sense of peace, a sense of well-being, and this quiet anticipation. I've had clients talk about it being a calm excitement. And that's the experience of being synced up with God. And that's when the magic happens. And for me in particular, having that part two, the what you're going to do for God as part of the contract, that gives your human control issues something to focus on, gives them a purpose, and it allows you to express a potentially problematic energy in its most divine form. Because I'll tell you something, if you're human, and I'm going to assume that the vast majority of y'all listening are, you're going to have control issues, okay? That's just the nature of the beast. And speaking of the beast, it's time to do the Cosmic Critter of the Week.
I can walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals. And they can squeak and squawk and speak and talk to me.
You know, Barbie, we've been doing that little intro for how many months now? And that still, to me, sounds like a haunted house. That sounds like a door squeaking open.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Yes. That's because it's the original.
I know. Yeah. Thusly, the sound quality is a little iffy. That's an old movie. That was out. I think I was like in the first or second grade when that movie came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the Eddie Murphy one.
Oh, please.
I know.
Well, you're too young to know the original one.
Well, I do. I remember. Hey, I remember Old Yeller.
Oh, please.
Let's traumatize our child.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Let's. It just wasn't childhood without Old Yeller. All right. So, well, guess who showed up today? This is awesome. And I think if I recall, correctly. This one's shown up before, but wow, this is appropriate. Robin. The robin has shown up. And I actually saw a couple robins the other day. We got snow, by the way. We got 6 inches of snow at my house this weekend. It was pretty crazy. So went for a little walk in the snow, and actually there was a couple of robins cavorting in someone's yard. So here we go. Robin means it's time to let go of anything in your life that's outmoded and stagnant and plant the seeds for the new by setting your goals and intentions for the coming year. Hello, Success Covenant. Let go of your attachment to drama and allow as much joy and laughter into your life as you possibly can. Your spiritual path is steady and slow with challenges along the way, yet it inevitably leads to your achieving your spiritual ideals. You have a beautiful song inside you, so do whatever it takes to share it with the world. I love this part. Expect new growth in a number of areas in your life. And finally, make a wish, be patient, and watch how it comes true. Notice, not watch whether it comes true, watch how it comes true. And y'all have been, given some really good tools to make those wishes come true recently. So I'm expecting to hear from you. And the Animal Spirit Guides always get out of the book. Animal Spirit Guides from Stephen D. Farmer has a show on this very station, 4 p.m. Thursdays, Earth Magic Radio. So, like I said, we are going to be talking about 2011, according to the stars. Actually, we're going to be looking at the last 3 years or so, because I'm telling you something. I have been fielding questions from clients right, left, and center in the last 3 years. Basically, what the bleep has been going on for the last 3 years. So we're going to find out what the bleep in a big way here. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to introduce our very, very cool guest and dive on in. So this is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. Do not go away. 21st century breakdown.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're just tuning in. This is Living on a Prayer, and I'm Michelle Morgan. And we are going to dive in to astrological magic today. And we have in the studio with us Master Astrologer Jan Van Eiselstein. Jan and I go way back. Barb and Jan go way back. Jan is a pretty amazing woman. She's been a professional astrologer since 1976, blending postmodern astrology with Eastern philosophy to reveal the purpose of an individual's journey in life. She's a published author through the University of Washington Press and lectures on Siberian shamanic studies at universities and colleges. She's got a private practice in Seattle through Pathfinder Counseling and hosts monthly astrology salons to teach and demystify the art of astrology. I've been going to Jan. Jan, honey, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you so very much.
How long have I known you?
I don't know. How long have you known me?
Probably about 12 years.
12 years.
Yeah.
A good Jupiter cycle.
A good Jupiter cycle. Let me tell you what, this woman has pulled me down off of more ledges than I can count. and has lifted me up out of the pit of despair.
Oh, you're too kind.
More times than I can count. No, she's amazing. Barbara Lou, how long have you been doing this cool thing with Jan?
Is it almost a decade?
Perhaps.
Yeah, it could be. Probably. It could be that close. I have also been pulled up from the depths of hell, too.
Yeah.
So, more than once and very recently, too.
That's me, just pulling people up from the depths of hell.
Wow.
Our savior.
She is. Let me tell you what. So, awesome to have you in the studio, and so glad that you decided to be in person in the studio rather than the phone thing. It's so much more fun to have you sitting right here, I'm telling you. So the first thing that I really want to talk about briefly with our listeners is, what's the best way to use astrological information? Because I have a lot of people that will come to me and I will suggest them to get their charts done, and they'll be kind of squirrely about it because a lot of people have the attitude that, well, because it's astrology and it's mathematical and it's so specific that somehow they're fated to that outcome and then there's nothing they can do. And, you know, my philosophy is you can do whatever you choose to do with information. So give me your take on the best way to use astrological info.
Well, you know, I sort of look at people's charts as their own personal story in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do believe that people are fated to a certain degree,
right,
to have certain kinds of experiences, go out there, meet people. But how they choose to respond and react to those situations, how they learn to grow and evolve from the situations that occur in their lives, I think that's really pretty much up to them.
Yeah, you bet. And that's, for me, that's where the belief system stuff and the family legacy, all the things that I work with clients on, comes into play. Because, you know, for me in particular, I've had some pretty heavy hitting astrological transits in the last number of years, and I had to really consciously do some work in order to get the best out of those because they were pretty challenging.
Right.
So, and it was really up to me, and you know, I think I did a fairly good job. So, but not easy.
The best way to look at an astrology chart is the perfect metaphor, which is that great movie with Bill Murray called Groundhog Day.
Yes.
And that you come into life and you behave and act in a certain way, and
right,
you meet these same characters all the time,
right,
and depending on the way you're behaving and reacting, you get these responses. And then once you figure out what makes you feel good and what makes you feel bad in life, you start changing who you are on the inside,
right,
and then the outside starts changing in its reflection to you.
Amen.
So
yeah,
you can, you know, you can have a happily ever after.
You bet.
And I'm not being Pollyanna about this in any way.
You bet. You got to do the work, but you can absolutely have it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Cool. Right on. So a lot of people have been wigged out big time about the last 2, 3, 5 years. So I really want people to understand why, quote unquote, you know, what's been going on, because it has been probably more challenging than, I don't know, a really, really long time in our history, collectively and personally for people. So help my listeners.
Okay. Well, if you go back to about 1995, now, a good way of looking at the planets is that each of the planets are striving to fulfill a need, okay, not only personally, but collectively as well. And if you go back, let's take a look at Pluto. What is Pluto all about? Pluto's about transformation. You know, Pluto's about healing. It's about cleansing. It's mm-hmm. about integrity. It's about bringing into the light any shadow issues.
Well, that kind of just explains everything right there, doesn't it?
You know, it's about power, catharsis. And when we had that back in 1995, it moved into Sag. And God bless Sag. But Sag can be a little... Now, when I say this, I'm not talking about people that have sun in Sag or moon in Sag or a whole bunch of Sagittarian planets. What I'm talking about is the nature of Sagittarius.
Right.
And so that's when we got the big housing boom. Mm. We got all that good feeling like, wow, we can go out and everybody can have a home and we can just spend our money and let's not worry about it because it's all going to be there and it's all going to flow in because we have trust and faith that the universe is a good place and it's here to help us.
Right.
Okay. So then comes Pluto moving in to Capricorn in 2008.
Okay.
And that happened just before the crash. If you look at the time that President Obama was elected, he was on the tail end. He was at 29-degree Pluto and Sag.
Okay.
So when he took over, Pluto moved into Capricorn. Capricorn's everything about the government, everything about perfection, everything about excellence, status, order, structure, accomplishment. It's collectively, it's the big boss. It's the president of the United States. It's the organization of the United States itself.
Wow.
And I think people were expecting, if Pluto's about elimination and bringing into the light, I think that a lot of people had their hopes that all the corruption that had been going on in the former administration, the torture, the lies about us getting into the war and why we were in specific wars, what the banks were doing.
Right.
I really thought that everybody was hoping, and I think people were, that all of this would be exposed and healed. And some of it has and some of it hasn't.
Yeah. Well, and is it fair to say, too, that, you know, that corruption was the culmination of literally centuries of corruption? I mean, we didn't get to where we are in our cultural framework overnight, even in the last 20 years. You know, there's been literally an ongoing process of people being in power and using their power in the wrong way. And so, you know, the expectation that it was all going to heal overnight, literally, by getting this amazing new president in, there's no way. I mean, Jesus Christ himself, in my opinion, couldn't clean it up overnight. You know,
Absolutely.
There's a huge process of healing that has to take place. Huge.
Well, and it kind of harkens me back to that particular period from 1762 to 1777, when Pluto was directly opposed to the sun in the United States chart. And what do we end up with? A revolution. A revolution against a corrupt government.
Right. Isn't that fascinating?
That is absolutely fascinating.
So really the identical planetary lineup that we are now in, basically.
Yes, happened back during the American Revolution.
Okay. Anybody out there being cynical at all? Not possible to be cynical when you hear this stuff. It's fascinating to me.
Right. So now, you know, now we really have to look. I mean, with any particular planetary alignment, you're going to get its positive expression and its negative expression.
Yep.
So positive aspects of Pluto would be to really learn to integrate and regenerate and to renew and to heal and to release and to transform and to cleanse. But its negative expression is negativity, fear, dread, distrust. Any sort of manipulating forces that may exist out there, oppression, to terrorize is a very negative expression of Pluto, to destroy, to degrade, to demean, to annihilate.
Isn't that amazing? Because we're seeing really extreme examples of both of the blessing and the curse of this happening now.
And I think you always get both.
Yeah.
You always
absolutely.
Get both sides of the spectrum.
You bet. You bet. Wow, that's amazing. And is it? Can you talk at all about the extremism of it? I mean, the fact that it is so blatant now. There's nothing quiet. There's nothing subtle about any of it. It's so in your face. And I don't know if maybe that's just the fact that, you know, given the media, we see it more clearly. But it seems to me like the level of drama around this is unprecedented.
Right, but I also think that the media is hyping this up.
Okay.
And I think it goes all the way back to to 2001 after the terrorist attack.
Yeah, amen.
And
yeah.
So they're just hyping up this theoretical war on terrorism.
Right, right.
Where is terrorism?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Show me terrorism.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. No, so true. It's so true.
So it's used as a way, I think, to manipulate and control the general public.
Amen. Is now, curiously, is there something specific planetarily that speaks to that? I mean, is that part of what we need to heal? The Plutonian expression of the media and the manipulative aspects of that?
Well, know that that's going to be there.
Yeah, okay.
Know that that's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And it will come from the people in power. It will come from people that own the banking establishments.
Right.
That's a very Plutonian, Capricornian type of business.
Okay.
From governments. From anybody that's in charge of a business.
Right.
They're going to make you fear.
Mm.
Because, you're going to lose your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a way of keeping you under control.
You bet. You bet.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's amazing. What can you say about some of the aspects of these idols falling? Our rich and famous people, the scandals have been scandalous. I mean, they've been amazing in the last number of years.
I think it's also that Pluto in Capricorn, that everything's coming to light.
Okay.
Everything's coming to light. Any corruption is now being brought into the light.
You bet.
And it needs to be healed and transformed. Unfortunately, even with issues like Guantanamo Bay and secret tortures and secret prisons and everything that had been going on,
right?
Nothing's happened.
Right.
It's like these people were able to walk on it.
Isn't that amazing?
The banks and the manipulation of money and stocks.
Still these, happening.
Yeah, I mean, they get a little slap on the wrist, and they're still getting their super duper bonuses at the end of the year. And
right. So what do you think is going to happen with that? I mean, and I guess that leads to another question, which is how long does this Pluto and Capricorn transit last?
Till 2023. So we've got a lot of work and a lot of cleaning up to do.
Wow, 2023, folks. That's a ways out.
Well, I mean, there are really positive aspects to Saturn. I mean, you know, Saturn's about achieving. It's about producing. It's about persisting.
Okay.
It's about deciding what you want to succeed in and going for it.
So tell me how Saturn fits into that thing, because Pluto's in Capricorn until 2023.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Pluto's in Capricorn, but when you look at the planet, okay, you've got the planet Pluto, but it's in the sign of Capricorn. And that's kind of the next step in the story. Capricorn is what they call in astrology the dispositor of Pluto.
Okay.
Okay? And so we're going to go to Capricorn. We're going to go to Saturn.
Mm.
And Saturn right now, I mean, when President Obama was elected, Saturn was over there in Virgo. And everybody thought, okay, he's going to go in. He's going to take care of all the details.
Right.
He's going to make this system work.
He's going to kick butt.
He's going to kick butt and make the system work. But not too far after his first year of being into the presidency, it moved into Libra. Now, Libra is not a great place for Capricorn, for Saturn. Saturn doesn't feel comfortable in Libra because it's like having the nice boss.
Mm.
You don't need a nice boss.
Right.
Nice bosses never get anything done.
Right.
You need to have somebody. Nice bosses are always looking around. How can we satisfy everybody? How can we make this person feel good and take care of this person's needs and these people's needs and make it all work? And I think that President Obama tried to do that initially with both members of the House and the Congress,
right?
Both parties, but it didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
So you end up with a lot of ineptitude and spinning your wheels.
Right. And the true hero makes the hard decisions. He makes the decisions
Correct.
That don't necessarily make him popular, but he has that image of the bigger picture, good for everybody, and he stays focused. It's interesting how this all fits with what I've been talking about ever since I started this show, the whole polarity thing, you know, about the masculine really needing to step up on this planet, not patriarchally, but from that true polarity perspective of the hero seeks to serve the greater good. And he will make those decisions based on his instincts, based on the information from the outside world, but he sticks to his guns no matter what people are saying around him.
A good boss has to think of the entire system that he's in charge of.
Yeah.
And it's not about fairness.
No. Not
and,
at all.
But Libra, Saturn,
it's
Libra's
totally
about fair.
Fairness.
Let's be fair with everyone.
Yeah.
Well, you can't be.
No, you can't.
Fairness is a secondary quality to the decisions that you make.
You bet. Interesting.
And, yeah.
Wow. So I just had something I was going to ask you and it just flew right out of my head. So hopefully my derailed train will come back on track. Anything that you can talk about? What I kept hearing about, and you know, I've said this before to my listeners, I know just enough astrology to be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Saturn-Pluto opposition, is that what we're talking about here? That there's been that, you know, Saturn being the old guard, the staid way of doing things, and then, oh no,
It's a square. It's a
okay.
square aspect. Well, okay. When President Obama was elected, it was in trine.
Everybody,
we're going to work hard and change the system and all for one and one for all and let's get going. We're ready to roll up our sleeves and work hard and make this happen.
Right.
And so you had all that energy.
Right. And then it went into
Libra,
which
trying
created,
to appease everybody. Okay. So instead of getting a boss, we got a college president.
Yeah. A professor. Yeah. Interesting. So before we go to break, and when we come back from break, we're going to be looking at 2011.
Absolutely.
And the changes that are coming. But I would love to talk a little bit about, you know, what are the specific lessons or the gifts that have been offered up in all of this challenge, in this insane healing process? You know, what can people do with that?
Well, I think people really need to personally, rather than collectively, but on a personal level, really look at what do they want to achieve right now in life? How do they define great achievements in their life? Is that with family?
Right.
Is that with a career? Is that with their social connections? What do they want to achieve? Where are they willing to put the time and energy in the long run to make happen? Not today, not tomorrow, but 2 years from now, five years from now, 7 years from now.
Right. No longer the quick fix, is it?
No longer the quick fix.
Yeah. And that's so interesting because I was actually just talking to my good friend about this. You know, we have been for a lot of years now with the whole advent of the new age, this idea that there is this magic formula, this quick fix. You say these three words and everything will change and your life is perfect. And Oprah talks about it and thusly, you know, everybody can do it and it's fabulous. But I think people have tried that for long enough. I think people are looking for something that has more of that sense of longevity to it because the quick fix doesn't work. I mean, it'll give you a taste.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing of that to me is that it inspires the longing. It makes people want to change and it inspires them to move forward in a way that maybe they hadn't prior to the magic formula. But it also sets people up for failure. And so that longevity piece, mm-hmm. I think, is really crucial. And I think that we're on the brink of that where people are going to start to understand, oh, yeah, you know what? This is going to take a little more work.
Right.
It's going
to. And I have to commit myself to it.
Yes.
For the long haul.
Amen. Yeah.
For the long
haul. And to me, that also fits the whole idea of the cleanup. I know for a fact for myself, I have absolutely, the two things I'm the most proud of in my life are how I parented my daughter and how I walk my talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not perfect, but by golly, do I work at, if I'm going to tell a client to do something, it's only because I'm doing it and I really work at it. But I've had to be even more impeccable over the last couple of years. Things that I had some wiggle room with, things I could get away with a little bit, really came back to slap me. And so I've had to be very, very clean and very clear. And it's been challenging, very humbling, but extraordinarily powerful. And the rewards have been off the charts. I can't even begin to describe the rewards that have come from being willing to take a look at take personal accountability for what was not working in my life and then doing the work I needed to do to clean that up. And so I think that's part of it for people too, don't
well,
you?
Well, yes. And I also look at this Pluto and Capricorn. The kinds of results you're going to get from this hard work are things that you can touch and feel. They're going to be very tangible.
Nice.
They aren't going to be abstract and they won't be gushy little feelings. There'll be things that you can take to the bank.
Wow. Well, on that very powerful note, I think we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to talk about 2011, what you can all expect. Jan, this is so awesome. I'm so glad you're here. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Don't go away.
And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was a loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
It's a sign of the times.
Michelle Morgan, Living on a Prayer. We are in the studio with Jan Van Eiselstein, Master Astrologer, and we are talking about all sorts of amazing information. Jan, honey.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's talk about 2011, darling. What in the world can we expect?
Well, I wanted to go back real quickly to that lovely little Pluto in Capricorn and talk about how this can be manifested in this lifetime.
Amen.
It's all about, right now, it's about your social relationships.
Okay.
It's all about what you bring to your social connections with other people.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, when you grow up, think about, by the time you get into, you go out and work, or the time you go to college, by the time you get to be about 28 and 29, and you have that first Saturn return, you move into a stage where I think you begin to discover that how you're going to make it in the world and how you're going to grow in the world has everything to do with the quality of social relationships that you make.
Amen.
And the people that you connect with and the skills and ability you bring to those connections.
Right. I agree. Totally. And that actually fits with what we were talking about prior to the show today about, you know, it's a little scary how the internet has created this extraordinarily antisocial climate where people are staying at home in their bedrooms having quote-unquote relationships online, and there's nothing real about that.
Absolutely. Well, that's the Neptune in Aquarius that we've been experiencing for many years.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, Neptune is about letting go and transforming and wholeness and being oneness with life and God.
Right.
It's the most emotional of all signs.
Right.
And Aquarius is the least emotional of all signs. So people have all of these, what they think are deep connections.
Right.
And they're very superficial.
Interesting. Wow. That's fascinating. So, all right.
So, we're going to...
Give us the lowdown, baby.
Lowdown. Well, 2011. This is going to be very interesting. I have to go back in time a little bit. We've had this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Pisces for a few years. And last year, it retrograded back, and I don't need to get into all the technical things, but you did ask me about that. You said, hey, tell me what was going on big last year. Well, 2010, this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that we have in Aries that we're moving back in toward, I actually went and looked at that particular transit, and the only thing that happened, but I think this was very significant, was that was the day that Iraqi freedom ended.
Interesting.
And our troops began to move out of Iraq. Mm-hmm. And most of them moved to Kuwait. A lot of them were sent back to Afghanistan, and the rest came home.
Interesting.
And we're sort of heading toward that same time, because on January 23rd, Jupiter is going to go back into Aries.
Okay.
And it's going to stay there.
For?
Oh, it's going to stay there until about June, till it moves into Taurus.
Okay.
But I think people are going to feel a little lighter. I think people will begin to regain their faith that the universe is a true and just place.
Amen.
And that we have to trust that.
Yeah.
And that there's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing that I'm sort of looking at is that Uranus is going to re-enter Aries on March 13th. And it's going to travel throughout the sign of Aries for the next 5-6 years.
And what is that all
about? We're going to have a revolution. Oh, hey, hey, you know, we all got to change the world. This is that's all about.
Nice.
We're getting out of that Pisces. Oh, my God, everything's going to fall apart. Oh, we can't trust anything.
Right.
We have to dissolve. We have to let go.
Wow.
We're losing everything. We're dying here. Two, we've got to take action.
We've
got to take action.
Yeah.
We've got to take action.
Amen.
You know, we either hang alone or hang together.
Yeah.
Kind of an approach to life.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
And that starts when again?
That starts on that starts on March 13th.
March 13th. Wow. Very cool.
And people, you know, people are going to understand. I think the most positive expression of this Aries in Aquarius is understanding that your needs, your right to survive, your right to be in this world has everything to do with the brotherhood and sisterhood of humankind.
Amen.
And that we have to find a way of merging that very collective idea of our humanitarian work with our own needs.
Right.
And that our survival will depend on the greater collective whole.
Interesting. What fascinates me about all of this is that, and it's really fun. Jan and I have had, again, about a 12-year relationship, and I'm always sending clients to you for astrological charts done. And inevitably, I get a phone call from that client going, did you and Jan talk about me prior to my reading with her? Because she said the exact same thing that you said in your reading. But it's so interesting to me how the information correlates.
Well, I was just listening to your Dr. Doolittle spirit guides this morning, and I'm listening to Robin, and it's like, boy, is that Aries? Is that Uranus?
Totally.
You know, let's get out there and awaken to the world, and let's go forward. And we have a purpose in life. And we're going to make it happen for ourselves. I think people are going to feel much more self-empowered to be able to go out in the world, feel happier that, you know, I can go out and make anything happen that I want to have happen.
Yeah.
I have the right and I have the skill and the ability. Yeah. I think that a lot of enthusiasm and trust will reemerge.
Good. And it's so fascinating to me because I've been saying that the last 3 years, not just from my personal experience, but this is what I've been counseling all of my clients. The last 3 years have been a huge test of faith. This has been that time I'm always talking about, you know, the darkness is where your power lies.
Correct.
Because in the darkness is the only time we reach out for God. We don't reach out for God when things are rocking and rolling. We may, if we're conscious enough, we'll thank God for our blessings. But it's only when the you know what's hitting the fan and we're skidding off into the shadows somewhere that we will say, please help me, whether we're reaching out to God or we're reaching out to our fellow man or whatever. And so this last 3 years have been prepping people for the ability to step out in a different way, not just go running amok with brand new enthusiasm like we did in 95.
Well, there may be a little bit of that too.
Sure, but I think the gift that's come out of this darkness for a lot of people that I've been talking to have been that foundation of faith being strengthened, you know, and really having those spiritual tools to make that new reality a much truer place.
But and that's exactly what Pluto's about, is nice. The darkness and the shadows and looking at them. But it's like the archetype of Hercules that goes into the cave. And he has to fight the Hydra, and he keeps cutting off all the heads, and they keep growing, and he remembers. One of the gods said to him, the only way you can kill the Hydra is to bring it out into the light.
Yes.
So he takes his sword, and he spears the Hydra and drags it out from the cave, and then it is totally destroyed. So it's not just looking at the darkness, but it's bringing it out into the light and facing it. And that's where true power comes from.
Amen. Cool.
And healing.
And healing. Big time healing. So on that note, what is that healing process going to continue to look like? I mean, we've obviously still got Pluto going on in Capricorn for quite a while. So how does that shift the energy of that, you know, the clearing out and the weeding out? How does that change with some of this new, fresh, you know, excitement?
I think people are going to start demanding that their government really take accountability to what's going on.
Amen.
You know, and I mean, the Tea Party, God bless them. I love the birthers. We wouldn't have Obama's chart if it wasn't for the birthers actually making him show his birth certificate.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think people like the Tea Party. I think any, you know, from all various, you know, parts of humanity are going to come forth and really want an accountable government.
Interesting.
They're going to want the corruption to be stopped. They're going to want to see people taking responsibility for their actions from the past.
So how will that affect, because I'm always talking about the fact that the system itself has to change. I mean, we can be all excited about who we think is the perfect president or the perfect, you know, mayor or the perfect congressperson, but the system itself has to change before it's really going to work. I mean, is that a fair statement?
Absolutely.
So how does that look as far as, you know, demanding accountability of the government? How does that look for the actual structure that determines whether or not the government can rule in a way that helps everybody?
Well, you know, people forget that President Obama has set a lot of things in motion where people have to be accountable.
Right.
Where if you are taking our government money and you're a bank or you're a car industry, you have to be accountable.
Right.
And so there have been a lot of new reforms set in place that people forget about.
Okay.
And I think there's going to be a lot more.
Good.
I think that on a legislative level, there are going to be many more reforms enacted.
Okay.
And so, but I think people are going to just demand it.
Yeah.
I you know, who knows? I would love to see more revolution in the streets.
Yeah, that's, yeah. As opposed to
blogging behind your computer as, you know, the anonymous troll from you know, Warcraft or something, you know, who knows?
Yeah, no, it is. It's so true.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, blessing and a curse in everything. There's blessings in all the ability to, you know, speak through blogging and that type of thing. But it scares me that it has kept us so separate from one another and has created this false sense of intimacy and this false idea that we're making a difference, when I think we have to actually physically, as human beings, we're physical beings. We have to come together in a physical way before we're going to really know what that connection's all about. So.
Right. And what makes more sense? 1,000 people showing up at Olympia in front of the courthouse, or people in their private blogs.
Yeah, no.
And their opinions.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. So what can we...
Spiritually, I'm really excited about this year, because Neptune is finally going to go into Pisces on April 4th. That's its natural sign.
Wow.
And I am so excited about that.
Because?
One's connection to being with God is going to really deepen.
Yay.
It's going to really deepen. It's, you know, it's about understanding that, you know, we have to transcend our differences.
Yeah. Yep.
and really come together for a higher purpose.
Interesting.
And we're going to get just a, it's going to be very curious because it's only going to be there until August. So April, May, June, July, it's going to have a different flavor. Then it's going to move back into Aquarius on August 6th and continue through the end of the year. But I would really look at the period of April, May, June, and July and just see how the collective is feeling out there.
Right. Can you give us an example of how that might show up? I mean, what could people potentially see in that?
Well, it can show up in a lot of different ways. If you look at Neptune as kind of being one with God, being one with life, however you may define that, it's a unitive consciousness. It's rapture. It's clarity. It's infinite love and beauty. It's making your dreams come true. Now, it also has its negative expression.
Sure, everything does.
Which could be, let's just escape. Let's drink a lot.
Yeah, let's smoke a lot of pot.
Let's smoke a lot of pot and sit on the couch and space out.
Right.
Let's be helpless. Let's abdicate all the responsibility for everything in the world that's happening
else.
To somebody else. Let's be confused. Why don't we just disappear for a while? Let's go on retreat. Let's deny. How about let's dissolve into chaos? How's
wow.
that? How about self-destruction? How about distorting everything that we see? So it can come out in that way too. I mean, who knows? And the thing with any sort of planetary influence, you're going to see both.
You bet. Simultaneously.
Simultaneously.
Yes, you bet.
Absolutely.
Isn't that interesting? And so again, we come back to that whole point of choice.
Right.
It's all about free will, kids. That's the final variable. How are you going to work with these influences to express them either in a positive way or in a not so positive way?
And that's why I recommend everybody go to whoever your astrologer or whoever your reader may be out there, because if they have your chart, they can actually show you
specific.
In which department of life those experiences are going to show up.
You bet. You bet.
So if you've got, Capricorn ruling your third house and you've got Pluto in there, it's about the transformation that needs to go on. The healing is about how you think about things.
Right.
How you construct things. If it's going on in your seventh house, my goodness, it's about the kinds of relationships that you cultivate in your life.
You bet.
If it's going on in your 10th house, it's about the career choices you've made.
You bet.
So individually, people need to really look at their own charts if they want a preview of not only how that's going to play out, but where in their life that's going to show up.
The specificity.
And the characters are going to meet.
Yeah, you bet.
Who will be there to help them transform.
And then I recommend from that point, they find the practitioners to help them heal those things, to change the belief systems, to heal the family legacies, do the specific prayer work, to focus on those absolutely specific areas.
You've got to do the hard work.
Oh yeah.
You've got to do the hard, painful work.
You bet. But if you've got the specifics, it makes it easier.
Yes.
You're not just shooting, blanks at a bunch of ducks flying in the sky.
Right.
You know?
And if you're able to really look at somebody's chart and analyze this, then you can, that information is very helpful to people like yourself.
Absolutely.
That can get, rather than spending 10 years with them on the couch, slowly revealing their family of origin issues.
You bet.
You can get right to it.
Absolutely. You bet. Wow. I'm curious about any specifics that you can touch on about the economy specifically, just jobs and money coming back in and that type of thing, because I know that's such a huge thing
for people. Rebirth. It's an absolute rebirth. When I went back in time and said, okay, well, we had that little period, that small little period when Jupiter and Uranus were in Aries last year, that's when we had finally some job growth.
Right. When was that?
It was back in summer, in August. Okay. August and September, we had a little bump there.
Touch.
And it was a good bump.
Yeah, it was a good bump.
It was better than it had been before.
Yeah.
But then it immediately moved back into Pisces, and everybody was lost in despair. Well, it's going forward into Aries, and it's going to be there for years.
Okay, cool.
So I can't tell you that we're going to get all the millions of jobs back.
Right.
But it's going to increase every month.
Right.
We're not going to have any more falls in the job market.
Thank you,
We're
God,
on
for
our way.
Prayer. Yeah.
We're on our way.
What about pioneering? What can you say about that?
That's
word?
What Aries is about. Yeah. Pioneering, going forth, fresh ideas.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've been in doing readings for people. I've been seeing now for a year or more that this time frame, 2011, 2012, even in 2013, it was going to be about breaking out of the box, you know, taking risks, being able to say, you know what, I'm not going to do it the old way. Who cares if you know, the recession is still going on or people are still hanging on to their money? I'm going to go for broke here. I'm going to bust loose and I'm going to do the thing that I've been wanting to do, even though there's not necessarily a specific structure for it, or, you know, I don't have a framework for it. Is that fair? I mean, are people going to start really out there making some new things happen?
It's a great time to be an entrepreneur. It's a great time to start something new and innovative, especially with Aquarius, Uranus being in the sign of Aries. Do something brand new. Get out there. Go forth. People that have that in their charts are people like Bill Gates. People like George Lucas.
Mm.
I mean, all these people that said, we're going to do something new. We're going to pioneer in a new field. There's no structure out there for me to form.
Right.
I've got to create it myself.
Yeah. Take the risk.
I have to take the risk and look what they've created.
You bet. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm beyond excited about 2011. I really am. I think it's going to be a major turning point. And I just appreciate you so much bringing such clear information to this. It's really been incredibly useful. And so I'm going to make you come back here once a month and give our listeners a monthly update.
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. So if people want to get a hold of you, Jan, for a reading or more information on your services, what's the best way to do that?
Give me a call at my number in Seattle, which is area code 206-526-2959.
Again?
Area code 206-526-2959. That's Pathfinder Counseling in Seattle, Washington.
Awesome. All right. So next week's show, we're going to talk about how we limit God and how to stop doing that. So it's in line with everything we're talking about, all this new, fresh, fabulous energy coming in. You got to know, don't limit God. So we're going to talk about that. So it's been great today, everybody. If you feel that you've personally benefited from listening to this show over the last year, and you'd like to help me continue to reach other listeners like yourself, I've made it easy. Just go to the radio show page at michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org. You can click the donate button and it'll take you straight to PayPal. It's an easy, safe way to contribute, and any amount is appreciated. I can't begin to thank the people that have been helping me out with that. Really appreciate the support. If you love the music, of course you do. Barb is the definitive rock goddess. Go to iTunes, download the songs. I will have them listed on my Facebook fan page. And again, to get to Facebook, you can go to my website, michellemorgan.org, and click on the links box on any page. So be sure to tune in next week, 12 noon Pacific, on contacttalkradio.com or 106.9 HD3 in Seattle. Jan Van Eiselstein, thank you so much, honey, for being here. This was so awesome.
Oh, thank you so very much.
So awesome. And we'll have you back in a month. And Barbaloo, you rock. Thank you, baby girl. Take care, everybody. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week. This is Michelle Morgan. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. Be good.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org.